we, I guess, move on to the public opportunity to give testimony. And we have a list. Okay, great. Okay, so the way we're going to do this is Karen has the sign-in list, and we're going to take everybody in order, and we're going to call out the names of those of you who have indicated that you wanted to testify and have been sworn in. So having been sworn in, let's do that right before you testify. I'm going to ask, how many people do we have on that list? Okay. Anyway, what I'm going to is usually we find that about 3 minutes is, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a good amount of time, and if there are a lot of people, we want to make sure and hear from everybody. I would encourage you to try to get to the point and try to focus on those things that you think are things that we as a commission can consider in the review. In other words, it has to be something that our regulations require and allow us to consider. And also, avoid too much repetition. If somebody else has made a particular statement and you would like to repeat that or agree with that, maybe just say, and I agree with the prior comment on whatever the concern is or the issue is. So anyway, I guess 24? Okay. All right. So why don't we get started? And if you could please come up to the mic and just say your name, where you're from, if you have any kind of or you're representing some other entity or yourself. I think that covers it. So anyway. Okay.
Test, test, test.
How do we turn that on? We're just trying to keep them down.
So I'm going to call three names in order. Paul J. Komen. Diane Russo. Mark Rinaldi. Tony Ramsdell. And Brad Richards. Mark, you're first.
My name is Mark Rinaldi. I'm a resident and landowner in Big Lake Township. I met with you folks yesterday on our site visit. Some of my questions have been answered. I do have some problems with some of the information that's been presented. I want to make this clear that I'm not against cell towers in general. I understand the need and the importance for this technology and the infrastructure that goes with it. My problem is with the placement of this tower in particular and some of the impact that it's going to have on our properties and our scenic views. I would just like to point out yesterday, and this was true last year with the visual assessment with the balloon, I think everyone would agree there was a pretty good breeze, and the tethered balloon was listing fairly sharply to the northeast. I would suggest that it may have been as much as 55 or 60 degrees before it tangled in the spruce, which was about 15 feet to the left at about 25 feet. So any deflection beyond that wouldn't be evident in the initial tether. But here's a right triangle trig calculation. If, in fact, that was a 55-degree deviation, that would reduce the balloon to 204 feet. So what I'm saying is we weren't seeing an accurate representation of a 250-foot structure. That was true yesterday. That was true a year ago. I would also like to point out a lot of errors in that visual assessment from 2013. I believe it states that our property, True North Farm, Poca Moonshine Mountain, are two high-priority sites. In both instances, we're told that it's not visible. I think I showed you yesterday that it's very much visible. Julie, I think you need to get a boat because Jameson Cove and Jimmy Libby Cove, that area of the lake encompasses many hundreds of acres. I've been out there while the balloon is up. It's highly visible, as it is from our property. Poca Moonshine Mountain, it's true, if you go up the opposite side of the mountain and park and go to the summit where the old tower was, you cannot see the balloon or the proposed tower site. But if you go to the scenic overlook that Georgia Pacific constructed and blazed a trail to, as my family does almost every year and many others do, it's very much front and center in that panoramic view over the entire portion of Big Lake. These are just some of the discrepancies in the visual assessment, and it's all subjective. Do you want to see it or don't you? I mean, you can do a lot with a camera and with a subjective viewpoint. So I think it kind of shows there's a little bias, I hate to say that, and even, I'll just leave it at that. I think it's it casts a shadow on the whole visual assessment. So I'm concerned with the fact that U.S. Cellular is placing a 250-foot structure in the dead center of a residential community that is the population center for the year-round residents, that has a very high impact not only on our lake and surrounding properties, and I feel there are certainly alternative sites available. I know of some that would suit U.S. Cellular's needs as well as preserve the scenic value and beauty of our neighborhood. So based on these things, I oppose the proposed tower where it's located today. That is not to say I'm against a tower in another area. I think it could be moved up the road. I think it could be moved a small amount. And that's a question that I have in terms of U.S. Cellular gives a target zone in Princeton. I don't know the distance to the proposed site. I'm guessing it's 3 or more miles difference. What is our leeway? Could we go another half mile up West Street? I don't know.
You've gone past your time. The other thing is, I will say this, if you don't feel like you've gotten everything to us, information, you can always submit it in writing. And I know.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Would you be interested in the calculator?
Sorry, I was just going to say, if you could provide, I think, Gene, will you help us with And this goes for anyone here. If there's a document that you have that you'd like to enter into the record, okay. The record will remain open after this, after the close of this, the public comment part of this public hearing. So there's an opportunity to mail us stuff or email us information. But if you have something today, we would like a copy of it just so that we can enter it into the record and make it official. So if you can hand that off to Gene, okay. Who's sitting right over there with the box where you can file things, that would be fantastic.
Sure what our protocol was here for commissioners and staff asking questions, people testifying, so I'm sorry I had to call you back up. I just was wondering, given that you live in an area with a view of portions of Big Lake and clearly boat, do you have any assessment of kind of the typical use of the lake?
You mean a general, what the public is doing out there on the lake day to day?
Yeah.
It's a broad spectrum. There are, I think, predominantly fisher people. Certainly the campground in the summer generates a great deal of traffic with recreational vehicles, pontoon boats, jet skis, water skiers. Mm-hmm. That portion of the lake is probably the most active in terms of recreational use. And probably fishing would encompass, the entire lake, but in terms of that type of usage, yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Tony Ramsdell. I live up 45 West Wind Heights. I am also the Princeton Fire Chief. We cover out there as mutual aid out in Township. Also, we've taken on Topsfield. My area coverage is very wide. Part of the snowmobile trail you guys showed out on the Stud Mill Road is also a pipeline under there, a gas pipeline from northeast. We have responsibility in the Princeton area of covering that pipeline also. Big Lake, we have to go out there quite a bit for accident calls. We've had a fatality out there last 4th of July, not this past year, but a year ago. The biggest problem is, and you probably know this, this is how we get toned out. This is a pager. The government made us narrowband a few years ago, I think 2011. We get very bad service. If I'm in the restaurant downtown at the old school cafe, the tones went off, I don't hear them. Cell phone service in town, I cannot get cell phone service at the fire station. We've got to be outside to get that. We don't have a landline in the fire station for us. The biggest problem is that we have these pagers. We have a tower up in Cooper, and we also have one up on East Musquash. We're in a bad spot. Narrow band is a very, very, very hit and miss. You'll either get it or you won't. Most of the time, some of the guys will call me on my cell phone and say, did you get that? And I'll say, no, we haven't. We use our cell phone a lot. There's a lot of things that we like to put over the air. As far as putting it on, what we run off is State Fire. State Fire is our number one communication channel. Arthur was through town. It took out that radio frequency, so I could not talk to Washington over in Machias on. Oh my gosh, I'm losing a little nervous. But on State Fire, I mean, we could not talk on State Fire. The problem is, it isn't the idea of going to another frequency to talk on State Fire. It's just this right here, the tones won't come, they could send a tone across another channel, we just don't hear it. The biggest thing is, Washington can pick up the telephone and call my cell phone in various parts. If I'm at the old school, definitely not going to get it. If I'm at the fire station cleaning a truck, the doors are down, even with the doors up, we don't have reception. And these people that have been hurt on the snowmobile trails, out in the lake, places where they're going to carry a cell phone. When they dial 911, I'm not really sure how that works, but maybe somebody else can clarify on it about getting GPS signals used by the towers. And that's very important. And I'm all about preserving Princeton and area towns. That's what I do. That I've been chief now for 4 or 5 years. I don't do it for the money. I do it for the people. And we preserve the land, and we preserve structures, old and new. I guess that's what I'm saying. This tower would really be a good asset for our community, not for just the people of Princeton surrounding areas, but also for emergency, whether it be fire departments, state police, game wardens, etc. It's one piece of lifeline that we use a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
My name is Brad Richard. I'm a Princeton resident. I live less than a mile from where the proposed site is. I can tell you from firsthand personal experience, I spend 30 to 40 days a year on Big Lake without any reservations. And yes, in Jimmy Libby Cove and in the adjacent cove, Sand Cove, the tower would be visible. Other areas of the lake, it wouldn't be visible. That part is, you know, obviously an area of contention. However, the safety side of things far outweighs things in my eyes. As far as being able to, as Tony's talked about, was the triangulation portion. I do know a fair amount about it, and being able to get a phase two hit on a GPS is a huge thing to be able to tell where people are in an emergency. I deal with that fairly often. But the other side is I'm also a camp owner in Big Lake Township, and I currently have very, very limited cell phone service on Big Lake. And for me, I have two small children, and I have a wife that oftentimes when I'm working, they're there, and for me to be able to talk to them and be able them to get a hold of me is a very important thing for me to do. And also the even larger side of it from a financial standpoint, with this tower, I'd be able to get rid of my landlines and save myself over $600 a year. So to me, that's a big part. And the only other thing that I had is if I'm even allowed to ask it, but I know there's a lot of people that are here that aren't willing to talk, get up in front of people. They don't like to do it. That's fine. But is there a question going to be asked for them to say, you know, do you raise your hands? Who supports this project and who doesn't support the project? And that's all I had to say. Thank you. Any questions? If anyone has any questions.
If that tower was located back up the hill another 1,000 feet, would it be as obtrusive or offensive, or would it be enhanced, or is there any difference in two or three different locations?
The way I look at that is that you're just drawing out a long trail that's going to take longer to keep service from us that we need. And that's what I, you know, that's just my personal opinion, is that it's just going to take longer, because we're going to have to do reassessments and everything else that's going to make it longer for us to go without service that we are in need of.
Thank you.
Bill Ingley, Mike Marshall, and Bob Howard Hood.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, my name is Bill Ingley. I'm a Big Lake resident. I have a camp there. I'm retired. I wanted to just come over today because I knew you were holding this hearing to talk about primarily the safety and health issues that are related to the new cell tower. I think you've had two of your very senior people here who deal with health and safety issues, so I'm not going to belabor that point. But out at my camp, I've now been there for 7 years, and there's really been no change at all in the cell service. And I'm a very big fan of technology. I kept my fingers crossed and hoped it was coming. And so the main point I would like to just say to you today is that you have now an opportunity to approve a cell tower that will give much broader coverage to many people in the community in Princeton and Big Lake. And that actually is very important because in rural communities with very few people, generally, and with all due respect to U.S. Cellular, the cellular providers do not want to build towers. They don't want to do the capital investment because the return is so low. The representative mentioned the Farm and Rural Development Act. It does have a specific provision in it, which was required by people who represent rural districts with very few people, and that is to make sure that the cell providers provide you with service in areas where they would argue there is no real financial return to warrant them doing it themselves. And so most communities want very badly to have cell service and will be arguing for them. So you are fortunate in that they've been required under the law to actually provide this service for you. And the main reason for doing that is actually the safety and public service, emergency medical elements. That's what drove this. The next portion of it was environmental, to preserve environmental, which was the NEPA review, which is actually a very difficult review. So they've achieved the environmental assessment as well as the emergency assessment. Aesthetics are generally very far down. Everyone knows that a tower is not going to be able to be aesthetically beautiful for everyone. But in return, you're getting a much broader coverage than you had before. And I know one of the commissioners talked about the degradation of coverage from 75, 50, 25% if you lowered the level and perhaps did not have a light. There you're in this strange position where you're actually taking away coverage, to potential coverage to people. And even under a 250-foot tower, you are not going to be providing coverage to everyone in the Big Lake, Princeton area. And I think at the end of the day, that's probably all your objectives. So anyway, I'm sorry, I think I've gone over my 3 minutes, but I want you to know, I strongly support the community having this available to them, and hopefully this has been helpful. Thank you very much.
I had a few issues with some of the information that was given earlier, but I want to stick to my prepared statement because I don't want to use up more time than I'm allowed. My name is Mike Marshall, and I live in Big Lake Township, and I was on the site visit with you folks last evening. I do appreciate you having this hearing. I know you didn't have to have it. I appreciate that. My wife, Nancy, and I live on the 45-acre farm abutting Chris Cochran's property. We share about 1,361 feet of boundary line adjacent to where the cell tower proposed cell tower would be put. My farm was settled in 1859 by William Brown, and from 1929 to 1959, it was owned by Alfonso Perkins, and it was known as the Perkins Dairy Farm. I bought the farm in 1978, and I hope I live there the rest of my life with my wife. I'm personally in favor of landowner rights. However, I do not believe landowners or corporations should do things on their property that endanger or negatively affect the neighbors. There's no question this cell tower would have a negative visual impact on neighboring residents and our tourists. Everybody, including me, appreciates the benefits of good cell coverage, but most people agree that there's a right way and a wrong way to accomplish it. My wife and I are retired, and we use all parts of our property. We raise honeybees, produce maple syrup, grow vegetables, cut firewood. I normally sell a truckload of logs that I harvest with my tractor each winter. We tip evergreens, and we cut Christmas trees on our property, and we shot a deer for the freezer last fall on our property. We're members of the Small Woodlot Owners Association of Maine and the American Tree Farm Association. One may read conflicting articles about health risks associated with living in close proximity to radio waves generated by cell towers and the possibility of honeybee colony collapse disorder associated with cell towers. I don't personally know the answers to that, but certainly cell tower people will tell you there are no risks. But also cigarette companies were a long time putting warnings on packs of cigarettes, too. It is my belief that the proposed location of this tower is too close to my property line. The Cochrane property is about 1,254 feet wide and about 44 acres. Any proposed tower located in the middle back part of the property would be 600 feet from neighboring property. This would cause slightly more cost to U.S. Cellular, but that could mitigate the adverse effects of the tower if it was placed in a different location within that property. I'm sure the commission has noticed how flat the terrain is in the area, and it doesn't seem necessary, and I'm not an expert, but it doesn't seem that it would have to be 250 feet tall. I maintain a bow hunting stand, and I cut wood and collect maple sap near the common boundary. Again, our boundary is quite long that we share. If the tower were to come down in an ice storm, I don't really want it land on my property. Now, since this, Chris and I both have measured the distance, and we come out with around 320 feet. Of course, when you cut a tree down in the wind and it blows, it doesn't actually fall right where close to where it falls from. So it could be debatable whether it would still land on my property or not. Last winter, the Department of Transportation shut down the Penobscot Narrow Bridge in Bucksport due to falling ice. When I'm cutting wood in January, collecting maple sap in February and March on my land adjacent to the Cochrane property, I do not want to be worried about dodging chunks of ice from a 250-foot steel tower. I once observed a fallen tower on the top of Pasadum Keg Mountain, and it reminded me of a railroad bridge laying on the ground. Last week, I stepped out the door of my house and stood looking at the awesome supermoon on a clear, warm night. It was beautiful. Yesterday, I stepped out my door and I saw the balloon in the sky in about the same sight in the sky.
You're well over your 3 minutes.
Okay.
Can you wrap it up?
I will respect that. My point is, I'll get to my last statement. If this is approved, I would ask that the cell tower be placed back further from the road, the lake, and other neighbors, that it would be the lowest height possible, and that the lighting would be such that maybe it would only come on when there is an airplane in the vicinity. I also wanted to make a mention that I own the farm adjacent to this area. It's a historic farm. I have an ancient cemetery next to my property. I've never been talked to by the consultants at all. They have never talked to me, visited my property, or never took a picture of the balloon standing in my dooryard. And I feel that was a big piece of the missing part of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Bob Hood from Princeton, and I'm a resident here, well, forever, I guess. And I got no service. Okay, but along those lines is what those other gentlemen said besides what Mike just said. I agreed with them on the safety, and we need it, like, out to the lake when you need to get a hold of somebody, if someone who's hurt. And just today I come out by Mike Marshall's and tried to use my cell phone, and it was all broken up. You couldn't talk to anybody. So what if you're having a heart attack or there is an emergency? I think that the people in Princeton will really benefit from this tower in its service. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Maybe just really.
Roger McIver, Jerry and Margie Cochran, and Tony Ramsdell.
Last summer, we had an accident at our home. My name is Sue McIver. I'm sorry. We live on Big Lake Township about 4 months out of the year. We have a cottage out there. Last summer, we had an accident at our place. My husband's patella tendon broke, throwing him downstairs. I was away. Our 7-year-old grandson was there, and we had cell service. We're one of the very few of our neighbors that have cell service, but only in the front of our place. If it wasn't for that cell service, my husband would have laid there for several hours before we could have got help in. But due to having the cell phone, he was able to get out and get my husband out. My husband couldn't even stand up on his leg because the patella tendon holds the top and the bottom of your leg together. I would like you all to think very carefully about this. This is quite a cell phone. Having it is a safety issue that we really need to look at here. I want you to ask yourself, is it more important for the historical value, the scenic value when you look out your window, or is life more important? This cell phone tower is very important to our area. And I would like to see, as Brad stated, a vote being taken so that you can see where the people of this area stand. Thank you very much.
Margie or Jerry Cochran? No? Brad Richards. Bob Newman. Bob Newman.
He said no.
He said no on that one. Oh, signed it. Richard Trafton. Oh, my God, you guys. You all signed in two sheets. Sue McIver just spoke. Dana Cady.
Madam Chair and Commissioners, my name is Dana Cady. I have a prepared statement, which is longer than 3 minutes. I've done a lot of funerals. The average age for death for men is 76 years. And when they're below 76, they give me the 3 years. So I can live to be about 193. There have been three people. That's 9 minutes. And my prepared statement is about 10 minutes. I live in, I'm a resident of Princeton. I'm a homeowner in Big Lake Township.
Okay.
I'd like to read that in 10 minutes. If I can't, I will submit it to you. I have it in a written form.
I'm sorry. So can you summarize it? And then we'd love to get a copy of it.
I can summarize it.
Okay.
My position comes from the night sky, something that has not been addressed here except by a few questions. I have had visitors from all over the world, Beijing, Dublin, Frankfurt, Seattle, and I have taken these visitors to a special place around midnight when the sky is clear and we have observed the panorama of the night skies in the absence of man-made sound, except for yesterday with that Volvo, and in the absence of man-made light. And those people have stood in awe. The folks from Dublin said, "We could never see anything like this in Dublin." I have been all over the world, New York, London, Hong Kong, hundreds of places. Never in all of those places with millions of people have they been able to experience what we experienced that night and what I experienced many nights. We are surrounded in this area by a land easement that includes over 350,000 acres, 45 miles of shoreline. I think it's something like 53,000 acres of water. And so Big Lake Township is just a small, tiny island. We don't have a lot of land, and so there is really no hope for economic expansion except because of the easement, because of the beauty of the area. There's no hope except, as far as I can see, ecotourism. And the key to ecotourism with all this wonderful land is the night sky where we can see the panorama, where you can see hardly anywhere else in the populated world. And so that's my concern. I'm not against the cell tower. I propose that the cell tower go out further to the south and west to there's three or four properties there that are available, of which I own none. I did, but I don't.
Please, folks.
I thank the committee for allowing me this time. I have my prepared statement, also a brochure of the land trust that I will submit. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chris Cock, and I'm a landowner on the proposed site. Does anybody not have a cell phone? That's how communication's done today. We also have a small camp on Stones Island, and we have two autistic kids, young. And we have cell service, perfect cell service there, because I can look and I can see a tower blinking on Musquash. As soon as I go around that corner, no more service. So as far as Big Lake goes and seeing a blinking tower, there's one out there you can see all the time. Just got nowhere to look for it. Pokey Mountain, one of my most favorite places to go. I take my kids up there. We were up there Sunday. And when I go up on top, I see Woodland Pulp. It's got six flashing lights, six stacks. I work there. It's my job. As far as a flashing light on a tower, there's nothing that looks any worse than the pulp mill. If we pick where these cell phone towers are going to go, I don't see where it's going to benefit any of us. If they're off in the distance somewhere else, these people came to me, and that's where they wanted the tower because it best suited their interest. So if we start picking where they're going to go, I don't see where that's going to increase our service at all. And I appreciate everybody's historic property. I mean, they've got some nice homes, and they've been there a long time. My place is historic. Every piece of ground we walk on is historic, has a history to it. But I don't choose what they do with their property. I feel I ought to be able to choose what I do with mine. Thank you very much. Anybody got any questions?
Yes, I think Samantha does.
Okay.
So did I understand correctly that from Big Lake you can see the tower in Lincoln? Is that right?
No, Musquash, East Musquash Mountain.
Musquash Pond, okay.
If you look right clearly at Musquash Stream, you can see it blinking right on the mountain.
Okay. Do you know how far away that is at that point? Or?
Is the crow fly 17 miles probably.
Okay. And, okay, I think that answers my question. Thank you very much.
Okay, anybody else?
Anybody else?
Nope. Oh, I guess my sister wanted to say something. Is my time up or do I have another minute?
Go ahead.
Well, in Hurricane Arthur, we were quite concerned because my mother and father, they're in their 70s, and they live on the outskirts of Princeton. We couldn't get in communication with them at all. And my father actually drove up the road so he could tell us that he was okay, him and my mother, and almost got hit by one of the trees blowing down. So it would have been nice if we could have communicated with them on either end. I couldn't communicate with them, and they couldn't with me. So it's a big concern around this area. Anybody else? Thank you, people, for your time.
Thank you.
Bailey and John Farrell.
No.
Neither of those? George Martz. Nancy Marshall and Jamerson Holmes. Nancy, are you going to testify? No.
Good afternoon, folks, and thank you for the opportunity to say a few words, and I'll be very brief. We own a camp.
Could you just say your name and
George
where you live?
George Martz, M-A-R-T-S. We own a camp on Jimmy Libby Cove. We spend about 5 months of the year here. I'm an avid fisherman, and I'm an avid bird hunter, and spend a lot of time on the lake and a lot of time in the outdoors. I just want to relate to you a brief story that happened about half a mile from Chris's house, maybe a mile out the Stud Mill Road last year. Three of us were driving out the Stud Mill Road to hunt grouse, and there was a car coming in the opposite direction that was a van, and some geese were crossing the road. And this lady tried so hard to avoid the geese that she hit a tree with her van. And she hit the tree so hard that the rear of her van actually went airborne, and we saw it. It was a frightening thing to see. Well, needless to say, we raced up, got out of my SUV, got to the car and looked, and we saw that she was very badly injured. And I reached for the cell phone because we knew that we needed trained help on the scene in order to help her. Well, I think by now, with all the testimony that you've heard, you know what happened when I tried to use my cell phone. No service. My two friends stayed there. I jumped in a car. I raced down the road a little bit, found a house that looked like it was occupied. There was a landline. I went in and I called for help. Help arrived as fast as it could get there. The state police and the EMT people, I'm going to estimate here today, about 45 minutes later. In the intervening period, the woman began to shake. She began to shiver. I'm not a trained EMT person, but I did have the feeling that she was going into shock. Fortunately, I carry first aid equipment in my vehicle, and I carry a space blanket. We got it out. And we put it on her, and the shaking was reduced until the EMT people got there. We did a few other things to help her along, and I take it that she's doing well today. The fact is that if we had cell service, we could have had help on the scene much faster. I personally hunt alone a lot, and I think about what would happen if I broke my leg, I broke my ankle, and I needed to call Brad Richards and say, come dig me out of this. Unfortunately, we don't have the cell service to do it, and we'd really like to have it. Many thanks.
Thank you.
I think we're done, but we might ask.
We're at the end of our list. Is there anybody else who we missed or who would like to testify?
I'm sorry, you, Mr. Holmes? What's your name?
James
Holmes. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Have you been sworn in?
I missed it.
You missed it. Well, let's do it now. Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. And could you say your name into the mic and where you live?
James Holmes, West Street, Princeton, Maine. I don't have any cell service, so to speak, in my door yet. But I'd like to speak about the scenic views on West Grand Lake in the land trust. If you want cell service up there, you have to go out to Twin Sisters in the middle of the lake. My camp's on Bear Trap. And when you do, in the night, with the scenic stars, you get to see Musquash Mountain with its blinking red light. I don't have people from away. So I get a little nervous. But anyway, if you look off in different directions, you get to see other lights. From my house in West Street, I get to see Georgia Pacific, which is a different name now, the mill. I get to see the airport lights. I get to see where the stud mill has its red light. So we have lights all around, and I've seen it starlit night. So one more light's not going to make a bit of difference, but we'll have communications for safety. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to testify?
Okay.
All right. So we want to give the applicant an opportunity to rebut anything that they've heard. Would you like to do that? Okay. Who would you, of the applicant? We'd like to ask you some questions. Is there anybody in particular of the applicant, or would you just like them to have them come up? Okay. We have a question for you. And just say your name and.
This is on. My name is Richard Trafton. I'm an attorney for U.S. Cellular.
Do you allow emergency services on your towers?
Yes. There is no charge or rental fee assessed by United States Cellular. An application is required for the emergency management or public safety use. And again, the purpose of that application is simply to know what kind of equipment is going to be mounted on the tower, the weight, and the frequency that equipment may use, so it won't interfere with other users on the tower.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Stay right there just a moment. Anybody have any other questions for the applicant? Okay, I guess we're all set.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I have a closing statement here. This is for the hearing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Since several people had asked, I think a number of individuals would like to express themselves but didn't want to get to the microphone, we should ask for a show of hands. So I would request you do that.
Okay.
Of supporting and opposing.
I guess there's no.
On both sides.
I could say what? Okay, I'm getting my legal counsel here is giving me some advice. It really isn't something because do you want to just make a statement as to your concerns about that or how the commission should consider that, I suppose?
Sure. I think what the discussion is that we're having here is the relevance of our task before us as the Land Use Planning Commission is to review permit applications, whether that be for this cell tower or any other, and to evaluate those proposals based on the statute that governs and the review criteria and the rules that we have. And we don't have a standard that asks us to give weight to in favor or in opposition to a particular project that we're viewing based on a straw poll, if you will. And so the...
They're in favor of the proposal or opposed to the proposal when they speak.
Actually, that's more of a legislative practice than a public hearing practice here. Theoretically, the testimony that we're receiving here today should be based on and help us evaluate the project in light of the standards, which is different than public policy decisions that the legislature, for instance, makes. Excuse me.
No, we're having a discussion, please.
A public policy decision that's made it's very relevant what the public wants as whether you're a legislator or a town councilor. And there's a distinction to be made between a public policy decision and a permitting decision that's based on the record. That's all.
I clearly understand that, and I think the members of the commission has a pretty good read of what the audience has expressed in response to individual speaking. So I'll withdraw my request.
It's not that we're not interested in what the public think by any stretch of the imagination, and which is one of the reasons why we're here. And I think I'm particularly pleased with the turnout.
Yeah, and I would reiterate that. I mean, we've been taking notes. You've been applauding, and I think we're getting a pretty good sense of where you as a group come from. And believe me, we're considering everything. Everything that all the information that you've given us. So I'm going to move on here and read my closing statement. Okay. I'd like to remind everyone that the record of this hearing will remain open until Monday, August 25th, to receive written statements from the interested public and for an additional 7 days until Tuesday, September 2nd, for the purpose 2014, just to clarify, for the purpose of receiving rebuttal comments. No additional evidence or testimony will be allowed into the record after the closing of the record. And so I now declare this hearing closed. And I do want to thank everyone for coming and participating, and please do submit testimony if you have some.